Welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, a weekly news digest covering events in Israel. It's relevant and accurate information you need to know, direct from the Holy Land. You're listening to Front Page Jerusalem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, the voice of Israel to the world, brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel in the city of the great king, Jerusalem. I'm Earl Cox.
I'm Ben Kinchlow.
And I'm Kevin Howard in Jerusalem.
Art many times speaks beyond logic, ministering to hearts and minds with healing where no words need to be exchanged. For wounds that span generations, promises that cover centuries, and hopes that still seem impossible, music especially communicates more than all the words of advocates and louder than the voices of opposition.
Well, that's so true, Earl. And while we've talked a lot about advocacy over this year, music can many times provide a way to advocate to the heart without the need for words. Words are often simply communication, but in music, one hears the heart, the longing for healing, and from our next guest, the fervent desire for peace and wholeness for the nation and people of Israel.
From creating a musical work to presenting it, one is never sure how it will be received and if it will fulfill its purposed intention to help bring healing. A superb violinist, Ruth Forsall, works to bring a heart of renewal back to the Jewish people through her gifting in classical music. Kevin Howard recently spoke with her in our Jerusalem studio, and we'll bring you that touching interview in just a moment. But first, let's hear from the CFI Jerusalem News Desk, where David Milburn has the recent headlines from Israel. David?
Thanks, Earl. The nation of Israel is a country steeped in historical and cultural significance, with researchers uncovering nearly daily archaeological finds providing glimpses into its fascinating and complicated past. An Israeli company, Vortex, specializing in the virtual reality experience, has developed a virtual reconstruction technology that enables the public to relive momentous historical events in 360-degree multisensory fashion while physically touring the ancient ruins. Visitors to Israeli landmarks can fully immerse themselves in life as it was during the Roman and Crusader periods. The public will be able to travel back in time and gain a new historical perspective and understanding of what life was like in ancient times. The startup company provides accessible historical content, offering the general public a rich and multi-layered virtual reality experience that fully restores the most important details of archaeological sites of the past. Now, before we return to Earl and Ben, here's today's This Page in History.
On the 1st of January, 1869, Jewish Philadelphia native Milton J. Rosenau was born. He was the point man in efforts to make milk supplies pure and safe in the United States. As a researcher, health official, and educator, Rosenau put medical science to work in the service of public health. His belief was that next to water purification, pasteurization is the most important single preventive measure in the field of sanitation. Rosenau established that slow pasteurization killed pathogens without ruining the taste, thus eliminating objections to public consumption by pasteurized milk. By 1936, pasteurized, certified milk was the standard in metropolitan areas in the United States. To paraphrase him, we find no monuments commemorating anyone preventing a war. The same is true with epidemics. No monument for Dr. Rosenau, but his prioritizing of preventive techniques helped to make milk a nutritional and iconic staple of the American society. His membership on the executive committee of the American Jewish Committee also indicates that Rosenau was active in the affairs of his local Jewish community.
Welcome back, everybody. To bring healing to hearts, music can often touch emotions and feelings in both moving and healing ways. Advocacy for Israel is not limited merely to that which is spoken, but also includes that which is created with the intent to bring hope and understanding to hearts and minds.
Thanks, Earl. I am joined in studio today with Ruth Forsall in Jerusalem. Ruth, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Good to be here with you.
Ruth, music has been a major portion of your life. Can you tell us how your passion for music began?
Born in England, in my teenage years, realized that really what I was wanting to be was a violinist. At around the same time as that's when I really met the Lord. You know, I can see how he's mapped out my life over the years. And so I studied violin in London, I studied in Paris. Then I moved to Canada. We raised our two children. Very involved with things in Canada, involved with the renewal there, all the wonderful things that God's been doing. Being a professional violinist and being a worship leader. It's been amazing to watch how, you know, when you've got two streams going along side by side, how the Lord is able to bring them together. I remember once somebody gave me a prophetic word and they said, Ruth, you're going to see that all of the streams in your life are actually all going to come into one stream. And so I've really seen that happen, and it's kind of an amazing thing to watch it. Back in 2000, somebody gave me a book of poetry of children from the Holocaust. That basically was a turning point in my life. I always knew that God's people Israel was special. I always knew that. I felt like God was asking me to do something. It's to take some of these poems of these Jewish children in Europe, there in Czechoslovakia, and to weave the poems together with the scriptures to portray his heart in the midst of the suffering. And I had really no clue, you know, what this was about. I was just responding to what God was asking of me. I didn't realize that he was being so specific. I knew the context was the Holocaust. I knew, obviously, that meant that this was about the Jewish people. But I didn't realize that actually what God was doing was he was connecting my heart with his heart for his people Israel. And that's everything changed at that point. But it wasn't immediate. I started off on the journey writing this piece that I felt he'd asked me to write for orchestra, for choirs, for soloists. It just took me on this very, very deep, very deep journey into his heart. A deep journey to the cross, I should say. I found I couldn't find understanding of suffering in any other place. Since 2000, writing that piece, finishing the piece, performing the piece in Toronto, taking it to Europe, bringing it to Israel, taking it to New York, that whole journey, as I've gone on that journey, God has gone deeper and deeper into my heart, and he's, the only way I can describe it is he has inserted his people Israel into my heart.
So with the oratorio, tell us the difference between presenting to Holocaust survivors compared to a general audience.
The audiences were always mixed, but everywhere we performed the oratorio, we gave free tickets to Holocaust survivors and their families. Within every audience, there was always a really good percentage of Jewish people and of Holocaust survivors, a big percentage of Christians that really felt the heart of it and wanted to be there. And then people that love classical music, you know, that just came along wondering, you know, what is this? So it was always like that. So when we did it in Toronto, obviously, a lot of Holocaust survivors living in Toronto. When we went to Europe, like to each city, and then meeting some survivors that were actually, you know, that have remained in Europe. I remember one amazing story when we performed the oratorio in Europe, and we were in the town of Brno in Czechia. Somebody had arranged for us to meet with a group of intercessors. It was winter. It was really cold. I remember going into this cold building, up the steps, wondering where on earth we were going. And then we found ourselves in this sort of this room that really had nothing in it, just a few chairs. And there were all these elderly ladies, like really old ladies, that had lived through the Holocaust. They were not Jewish. And they carried in their hearts the pain of seeing their neighbors taken away. People that were their friends, they carried it in their hearts, and they had been praying ever since that something could happen to bring, I don't know, to bring reconciliation between the Christian community and the Jewish people. So when I came in and I told my story, they just began to weep, and they gathered around us and they prayed for us and they were crying. It was just like this was the moment they'd been praying for all their lives, that something would come to their town that could cause this to happen. and caused all these people to come to the concert hall and sit together. And so it was very, very special.
What are some of the relationships that you've been able to cultivate with your music and through ministry?
Well, music has a way, doesn't it, of breaking down barriers. We can sometimes say things in music without words. Like, for instance, when I play for Holocaust survivors, what I love the most is a room full of, you know, maybe 10, 20 people sitting in a circle, and I can just take my violin, and I don't even know what I'm going to play. So I just go to each one, and I just play over each one. And to see how God touches hearts, no words. I can't talk about Jesus. I can't talk about Yeshua in that context. They know I'm a Christian. You know, one of the most wonderful things is hearing people try to describe what it feels like when the Holy Spirit touches them. But it's not in their lexicon. It's not in their language. The thing I love so much about the Jewish people is that God is in their DNA. You hardly have to scratch at all. He's there. He's part of their lives. Whether they're mad at him, or whether they're happy with him, or whether they have a lot of questions, he's there. I really, really love that. So I find that being here in Israel, definitely being a musician opens doors. And it opens the way to be able to share God's heart, because I really, really believe that more and more in God's heart is something that is felt. It's his presence in us that people feel. It's not what we say to them. It's not how we try to convince them. It's his presence in us. And when people feel that presence, they feel him. And somehow the violin, it gives me a way to do that in a deeper way than maybe just walking down the street with a smile. But when you can smile and play the violin at the same time, it does a little bit more, you know.
With the need for healing still present for so many, we cannot forget to pray for peace in Jerusalem. The wounds of generation cannot heal well under constant threat and fear. It's only in God's peace that true restoration can happen. But right now, we need to take a short break so that you can hear about a project of Christian Friends of Israel that's making a real difference for some people in the land of Israel today.
You survived the most horrific persecution of your people in the history of the world. And now you live and struggle in the land of your ancestors. With age creeping in and mobility decreasing, you sit alone in a tiny little home. Only memories of the past and current troubles keep you company. A knock sounds at the door, and you slowly answer. Elated to see visitors, you're overjoyed that someone still cares. You have not been forsaken. The CFI team travels weekly throughout Israel, reaching out through home visits to connect and assist Holocaust survivors in a practical way, providing listening ears and caring hearts to those who have experienced so much sorrow and pain. As they age, many of the survivors of yesterday are leaving us quickly. The urgency of this tremendous work is always in the forefront. Having been through so much, it is our honor and privilege to make sure that as many as possible are never forsaken again. Some say that to the world, they may only be one person, but we know to one person, we may just be the world.
Christian Friends of Israel's project, Forsake Them Not. Just one more way we're making a difference in Israel, one life at a time. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to our continuing discussion between Front Page Jerusalem's Kevin Howard and Ruth Forsall, speaking on creativity, healing music, and having a heart for the people of Israel and their restorative healing.
Ruth, has your passion for Israel generated a concern for the next generation as well?
What's been interesting for me here in Israel, as opposed to in Canada, where most of my friends are around my own age, here in Israel, the majority of my friends are actually the generation of my own children. God is giving me people to mentor in that way. When I use the word mentor, I'm not a natural teacher that likes to take people and to mentor them and And I think that's a very sort of pastoral type of approach to things. I hope that by people being around me and being able to encourage them, if they have giftings, to use those giftings in a prophetic kind of a way, to be able to really hear, what is God saying? Why am I a musician? Why am I a painter? Why am I, you know, why am I this? Why am I that? And to realize it's because God's made me that way. Okay, so what does God, what, you know, what's the real purpose? What's the real purpose of being a musician? Surely it's not just to make music. It's to make music that is filled with God's spirit. So we have to kind of do that. And I was just recently in Slovakia, and I found myself in a church of predominantly people between the age of probably 20 to 35. And there were a lot of really artistic people there. And so I had the privilege of praying over them and just releasing whatever God has for them. But I think the key thing with the arts, with creativity, music, we talk about music and worship music, where's it, people talk about where's it going and all of this kind of thing. And sometimes I feel like we're talking about all the wrong things. The question isn't where's worship going. The question is, where are we? Where are our hearts? We shouldn't be trying to find new ways to do worship. We should be just focusing our hearts on Him, our relationship to Him, so that He can really flow through us, and He'll take care of the rest. You know, we do the best to be the best we can be in the skills that He's given us, and really hone those skills to the best, you know, with His Holy Spirit infusing it.
Ruth, what do you feel is now on the horizon for you creatively, and how will you express your heart for Israel through your music?
What's on the horizon for me? I'm really, right now, I've been out of Israel for a year, unable to enter. Just before that happened, I really felt there was a new peace that the Lord was birthing inside me. I'm crying out to Him, what's this peace? What is this peace? And then finally, He made it clear that it's Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14, the Valley of the Dry Bones. And I thought, oh, wow, what an amazing thing to try and depict in music. And at the same time, realizing the challenge of trying to depict something that people already have. They already have an image, them bones, them dry bones. And, you know, they already think they know what this is about. No, it's not. This is a classical piece for orchestra and soloists and choir and the whole thing. Anyway, so the whole year that I've been out of Israel, I've been writing this piece, and recently just finished recording it. So my dream is to see this piece, which is called Ezekiel Out of Exile, which basically tells the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones. There's a psalm on either end of it. Begins with, by the rivers of Babylon we sat down and wept. Takes through the whole vision of the valley with the dry bones and Ezekiel prophesying to the bones. And then finishing with Psalm 126, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. We were like those who dreamed. And I've been writing this piece all year, and it's finished, it's recorded, and now it's time to bring it to Israel, because I wrote it for that, specifically for that reason. I don't want just classical music lovers coming to this. I want everyone to feel this is for them. So my challenge right now, well, one thing is just hearing the Lord exactly on how He wants me to do it. I had thought orchestra and choirs, but now I feel He's saying, shift a little bit. No, it's going to be an experience that people come into from beginning to end. So it'll have a sort of theatrical quality to it, and lighting, and I don't know exactly how it's going to look. But so it's a challenge, because now I need to find the right people to make this happen. I need a good Israeli stage producer and somebody who knows someone, you know, people that do lighting and effects and all of that kind of stuff. So that's really where I stand right now, and waiting to see the Lord put this all together. It's great. I mean, I love being in the center of something God's doing, because, you know, He's always shifting you. Now, this is what I find. I go off in one direction, and he's kind of, well, yeah, it's kind of this way, but no, just go a little bit to the left here, and then you go to left, and then you meet somebody you were rarely supposed to meet. And then the Lord says, yeah, but don't keep going left. Now you've got to get back on where you were before. It's this constant listening to him and seeing something that he's created, you've created together with him, and seeing it come about, seeing it come to life. I love the whole process of it.
So has there become a sense of urgency in your heart with Holocaust survivor numbers dwindling and the younger generations knowing less about the time period of the Holocaust?
If you're talking about a sense of urgency, the urgency I would feel is on the younger generation to get a sense, not so much, because they do get a certain amount of Holocaust, especially in Israel now, they're getting more again. It's the urgency is to bring to them what God has said. That's the urgency, more than sort of what's happened in the past. Yes, okay, it's happened, but what does God say? What does God say about you, about your people, about your land? What is in His Word about that? And that He promises that He's going to bring you back to the land, and He's going to settle you in your land. He promises all of that's the urgency, because I think many young Israelis, they don't know that.
Would you mind giving our listeners an example of something you might play during your time with Holocaust survivors? Ruth, thank you so much for being our guest today on Front Page Jerusalem.
It's always good to be able to process the things that are on your heart, you know? So thanks for the opportunity to do that.
Well, thanks, Kevin, for that very heartwarming discussion, along with the beautiful music of violinist Ruth Fuzzle. Well, our time's almost up for this week, and coming up, we'll hear from David Nekrutman with this week's Bible on the Go. But first, another visit to the CFIJ News Desk and David Milburn.
Thank you, Ben. A planned high-speed rail station in the Old City of Jerusalem will be named after President Donald Trump. The station, which will be built inside the walls of the Old City, will drop off passengers near the Dung Gate, which leads straight to the Western Wall. Trump made history in early May when he became the first sitting U.S. president to visit the Western Wall. But dedicating the rail station to Trump is a way of thanking him for what he did earlier in December when he recognized recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and said that he intends to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. The Old City of Jerusalem is the most sensitive point in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, with both sides claiming all or part of the city as their capital. In addition to the station, Trump naming frenzy has swept across Jerusalem and Israel. Now, before we return to Earl and Ben, here's David Nekrutman with Bible on the Go.
I often have the honor of having pastors at my Sabbath table on Friday evening. And in Jewish tradition, we have a ritual where we lay our hands on our kids and we bless them with Genesis 48:20, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh, followed by the priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And a pastor once asked me, he said, I don't understand why you put Jacob's blessing before God's blessing. So that's an excellent question. In fact, you know, you're right. You know, God actually mandated that you should be blessing this blessing, and Jacob just did this on the fly. But I think the answer is that Ephraim and Manasseh are the first two biblical brothers that get along with one another. You know, Cain and Abel, it didn't work out well for them, and Jacob and Esau and Isaac and Ishmael. Now we have Ephraim and Manasseh that are one unit in the family life. But more importantly, they are born in Egyptian culture. They are saturated with pagan influences, yet they still retain their faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I said, this is probably the reason why we say the bliss blessing before the priestly blessing. Because we want to give over to our kids that no matter what, we stand with God. No matter what temptations are out there, no matter what secular influences are there to pull away from that faith, we affirm that we are standing with God. And by that affirmation, then we can get the blessings from the priestly blessing about covenant, and a revelation about his word, and all the material blessings associated with the priestly blessing. This is David Nekrutman with Bible on the Go.
Thanks, David. Well, that's our show for today. We hope that you've enjoyed the program, everybody. And thanks for joining us. And please don't forget to support this station, because this station truly supports Israel.
And before we go, we want to remind you to please pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And let me invite you to join us on this station again right here next week as we bring you all the latest from Israel and the Middle East.
So for now, on behalf of the entire staff of Front Page Jerusalem, I'm Earl Cox, reminding you that because God loves Israel, I do too.
You've been listening to Front Page Jerusalem. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com. Front Page Jerusalem is brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel, Jerusalem. Making a difference in Israel, one life at a time. Front Page Jerusalem is a production of Level E Media Incorporated.